Hello, everybody. I wanted to be able to discuss ethical sex. This is SutterHealth.org. College student writer Anna Rafferty, Palo Alto Medical Foundation. Ethical sex, respect and honest communication influence the morality of sexual behavior. So I'm going to read this article in the form of my using assertive language referring to myself. I choose to be sexually active, therefore I'm sexually active. I have ethical sex. It's not complicated. To me, doesn't sound complicated to me either. The basis for me, for my ethical sex, my positive sex, are when my sexual encounters are consensual, that's a requirement for me, respectful, that's a requirement for me, and protected, that's a requirement for me as well. What do I need in order to have ethical sex? I need to know and I am comfortable with my own body. This helps me to determine what I'm comfortable consenting to and gives me an understanding of what I might like from my partners. I need to be comfortable with my own sexuality, which I am, and I am able to experience sexual pleasure without guilt nor shame. That's right, there's no guilt nor shame when it comes to my experiencing sexual pleasure. I am not ashamed of being sexual. I plan ahead for sex when I absolutely need to, and I'm completely respectful of my partner's feelings and their sexualities. My partners and I are for protected and respectful sex, never against it, never have been against it, never will be against it. I need to speak up about my sexuality. I've done that in previous podcast episodes. I am assertive about what I like to do, and I'm assertive about what I wouldn't like to do. I make sure that there's smooth sailing to myself and my partners when it comes to our truly consensual sex. I need to have respect for others' values, which I have and am. And it's possible that my partners may not have all of my experiences and dynamics with sex as I have, which means that there is a mutual comfortability with different ways of expressing sexuality. And I'll say that mutual comfortability with different ways of expressing sexuality is equal comfort. We may be more comfortable doing some sexual things, but less comfortable doing other things, but we never force each other to say or do what we don't want said, what we don't want done. I also want to say this, sex for me is a form of expressing sacrificial love. And sex for me is a form of expressing unconditional love. To have respectful sex, I need to respect those values, and I do. I need to understand my own needs and my partner's needs. I do that well. Understanding my own needs helps me express them to my partners, which enables respect. Understanding my partner's needs allows me to respect their needs in return. Understanding my partner's needs allows me to respect those needs in turn. I need to understand what I'm looking for in my sexual experiences. I do that well. Am I having sex because I care about the other person? Yes. Am I having sex because I care about the other people? Yes. Because you want ethical sexual pleasure? Yes. Because you want the other person and or persons to care about you? No. Or for other reasons? Yes, the other reasons are our emotional intimacy, our intellectual intimacy, our spiritual intimacy, and our interpersonal intimacy has led to sexual intimacy many times. Notice I put the soul first, body second. That's how I think, even when it comes to sex. Part of respectful sex is respecting myself by acknowledging what I want, and I am honestly evaluating whether sex is the best method to obtain it. So sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. Either way, I critically think before I penetrate. I critically think before engaging in non-penetrative sex. Sometimes I go, well, sex is the best method. Other times I go, I need to do something different. That's more constructive, depending upon the circumstances. Depending on my goals, I also need to think about whether acting on that goal to sex is respectful to my partners. And I do that well, very well. I need to be able to communicate with my sexual partners in sexual terms, which I do, ethically speaking. I am comfortable talking with my partners about protection and other aspects of sexuality. And because of that, it's not hard for our sex having to be well protected to be respectful, because we don't put any erotic roadblocks on our pathways at all. I express my sexuality without exploiting nor being violent toward others. My partners and I listen to each other and we respect what we're comfortable with and not comfortable with. That is other reasons for our consensual, respectful sex being so delightful to us. We protect each other and ourselves from sexually transmitted infections, STIs. We protect ourselves and each other from sexually transmitted diseases, STDs. We have knowledge, accurate knowledge, about STIs and STDs. And we have ethical ways to protect ourselves from sexually transmitted diseases and infections. So we use condoms. We're open to dental dams. And again, our sex is protected. All right. Consent and consensual sex. The basis of any sexual encounter should be clear. Capable agreement. Teams participating in the summer wellness program is Palo Alto Medical Foundation. The issue of consensual sex typically comes up only when there's doubt about whether both people engaging in sex want it to happen. However, consent should be discussed whether you're thinking about a possible sexual encounter. In fact, consent should be the basis for every sexual encounter. Engaging in sexual act without the other person's consent is considered sexual assault or rape. Every act requires consent. Even if you've been kissing, it doesn't mean you can't say no to anything further. What is consent? Consent means both people, or if it's group sex, all the sexual partners involved, in sexual encounters, all sexual encounters, must agree to it, must agree to them. Either person and or all persons involved, it could be two people sex, it could be group sex, all right, may decide at any time that they no longer consent and want to stop. When you consent to one behavior, that doesn't obligate you to consent to any other behaviors. When you consent on one occasion, that doesn't obligate you to consent on any other occasion. Consenting means only that at this particular time, you'd like to engage in this particular sexual behavior. How do you determine consent? To determine if someone is given consent, you must be able to answer two questions. Does the person want to give consent? Is the person capable of giving consent? The easiest way to determine consent is simply to ask. This eliminates the uncertainty of guessing and trying to interpret signals. Someone putting their hand on your hand might indicate that they like what you're doing, or it might mean they want you to stop. The only way to be sure is to ask. A person may also give consent non-verbally by actively engaging in a sexual act. Clearly, this implied consent is more difficult to gauge. So if your partner seems to become more hesitant or uncomfortable, stop immediately. Reassure your partners that you don't want to do anything they don't also want to do. What if a person does not or cannot give consent? Above all, if your partner ever says no during sex or asks you to stop, you must stop immediately. Once again, saying no should never be treated as a game or as a signal that someone is playing hard to get. Simply put, no means no in any sexual encounter. By the way, no is a complete sentence. End of story. Certain circumstances make it impossible for a person to legally give consent. These circumstances include when a person is not mentally or physically capable of choosing whether to engage in sexual behavior. Even if someone who is drunk or high seems eager to engage in sexual behavior, doing so can legally be considered sexual assault or rape. When a person is underage, the age at which a person can legally give consent for certain sexual behaviors, such as intercourse, oral sex, or anal sex, varies by country and by U.S. state. Having sex with someone under the age of consent is legally considered a crime, statutory rape, even if the underage person says they wanted the sexual behavior to take place. Why should you talk to your partner? Making sure that your partner consents to a sexual encounter is one of the most important parts of having and mutually satisfying ethical experiences. Check in with yourself and your partners often to make sure that you're all comfortable with what's happening, respect each other's feelings. Your partner might consent to oral sex, but not to sexual intercourse, or you might consent to general touching on one occasion, but not another. You always have the right to say no. Anytime either you or your partner says no, the other person or all the other people must respect that decision. Even though talking beforehand doesn't mean that both people consent later, it makes it more likely that you and your partner will understand each other's values and feelings. Finally, if you're unsure what rights you have in a sexual encounter, such as the right to stop giving consent in encounters at any time, read sexual rights. So all the wisdom that I just read to you in the consent and consensual sex, I apply them all personally, and I apply them all efficiently. Let's go on and read the sexual rights. Sexual rights. Being mindful of sexual rights can help ensure positive, respectful experiences. Teens participate in the summer wellness programs, Palo Alto Medical Foundation. Certain things are so basic that you're entitled to them simply for being a human being. Some of these things are related to sexuality or sexual acts, and these are known as sexual rights. If anyone questions your rights to these things, especially a sexual partner, they probably don't have your best interest in mind. Any sexual partner you have also has these rights, and respecting them is part of having positive and ethical sexual experiences. A positive sexual experience. Positive sexual experiences are those that are consensual, respectful, and protected. A sexual experience that violates someone's sexual rights is disrespectful and often non-consensual. It may also be unprotected. An explanation of sexual rights. Okay. So I'm going to give you the sexual rights and explanations. The right to make your own decisions about being sexual or not, regardless of your partner's intuitions. This means that you can choose not to be sexual, even if your partner would like you to be sexual. This includes deciding not to be sexual with someone you have been sexual with before. The right to make your own decisions about birth control and protection from sexually transmitted infections and diseases, STIs and STDs, regardless of your partner's wishes. The right to make free and responsible productive choices. This means that you can choose whether to use birth control and decide how to protect yourself. Making responsible reproductive choices also involves deciding if or when you and your partner would like to have a child. This includes the right to tell a partner that you will not have sex without birth control or without protection from STIs and STDs. Pregnancies and sexually transmitted infections and diseases shouldn't just happen. The right to stop sexual activity at any time, including during or just before intercourse. This includes the right to make your own decisions about sexual activity. But it's important to remember that being sexual is not an all or nothing deal. There are several levels of sexual activity. You can decide what you're comfortable with and engage in only those activities you want to participate in. The right to tell anyone that you're not comfortable being hugged or kissed in certain ways. Even if someone is related to you, they cannot force you to experience affection the way that they would like. You have the right to tell your relatives and other acquaintances how you are comfortable expressing affection and to be free from sexual harassment. The right to ask a partner if they have been examined for sexually transmitted infections and diseases. Asking a partner about STIs and STDs doesn't mean you're accusing them of anything. It means you're being a responsible sexual person. The right to tell a partner what you would like sexually or to tell a partner that you would like to be hugged, cuddled, or touched without sex. This means you have the right to talk to your partner about your wants and needs. It includes the right to tell a partner that they are being too rough and the right to be sensual without being sexual. The right to masturbate. You have the right to give yourself sexual pleasure. It's not dirty, it's not wrong, and it's not shameful. Your partner does not have the right to tell you not to masturbate. The right to sexual autonomy, sexual integrity, and safety of your sexual body. This means you have the right to make decisions about your sexual life according to your own values. You have the right to be sexual without violence of any sort. The right to sexual privacy. This means you have the right to make your own decisions about sex as long as your decisions don't interfere with the sexual rights of others. This also includes the right to be examined by a doctor for sexual concerns without the doctor sharing that information with other people, except in extreme circumstances like abuse. The right to sexual equity. This means you have the right not to be discriminated against based on gender, sexual orientation, age, race, social class, secularity, religion, and physical and emotional disabilities. However, the sexual decisions you can make may be limited by these factors if they influence your capability to consent. For instance, a small child cannot give informed consent to anything sexual because a child doesn't understand what that means. The right to sexual pleasure. Sexual pleasure isn't shameful. It's a natural part of being human. You need to make responsible sexual choices because these can definitely include having sexual pleasure in your life. The right to emotional sexual expression. This means you have the right to express your sexuality in any way you choose, including communication, touch, emotions, and love, whether it's romantic or just compassionate if you're not in a romantic relationship with your partner and their partners, not just through sexual acts. The right to comprehensive sexuality education. You have the right to be educated about sexuality. Education can help you make safer sexual decisions and know when to seek help should problems arise. The right to sexual information based upon scientific inquiry. This means that ethical studies of sexuality should be conducted and the information gained from these studies should be available. The right to sexual health care. You have the right to be treated for any sexual problems you might have and to get preventative care to keep you healthy. You shouldn't be prevented from receiving this care because of sexual orientation, disability status, race, class, age, or other factors. Every state has laws about who can receive confidential reproductive services. Find out what the laws are in your state. It's important to remember that although you have all these rights, your parents, siblings, and doctors, or trusted adults, can still help you make good decisions about sexuality. They can provide valuable information and perspective to help you as you begin making sexual decisions. Sometimes you have to seek out information. So I have all of these sexual rights, and I exercise all of these sexual rights without shame, without guilt, and with inner peace, undisturbed within me. So I'm going to see if there's more that I need to discuss. Actually, yes, there is one more thing. And I'll be done for today. Protecting myself. I am sexually active, so I take full responsibility for avoiding sexually transmitted infections and diseases. But this is teens participating in the summer wellness programs, Palo Alto Medical Foundation. Abstinence is the best way to protect myself from sexually transmitted infections and diseases. Personally, I choose to not be sexually abstinent. Having sex with only one unaffected partner who only has sex with you is also safe. There are other things you can do to protect yourself. Using a latex condom every time for vaginal, anal, and oral sex. Condoms will help protect you from STIs and STDs much of the time. All walks of life should carry condoms. In addition to condoms, use spermicide. Talk to your partners about past sex partners and about needle drug use only under the appropriate circumstances, as long as no one's privacy is being violated. Because the right to sexual privacy, we're just talking about that. Don't have sex with someone who you think may have an STI or STDs. At the same time, don't assume. Make sure you're able to get the information, legally speaking, without being a busybody, without being nosy. Be caring, be concerned. Before you have sex, look closely at your partner for any sign of an STI or STD. A rash, a sore, redness, or discharge. If you see anything that worries you, don't have sex. Or make sure you look close at your partner for any signs of STDs too. Just saying. Get checked for an STI or STD every time you have a health exam. Also, don't have sex with someone who you think may have an STD. I just want to say that. If you have more than one sex partner, get examined for an STI and STD anytime you think you might be at risk, even if you don't have symptoms. Notice signs and symptoms of an STI and STD. If you notice a symptom that worries you, get checked. If you have an STI or STD, your partner or partners must get treated when you do. If you have an STI or STDs, don't have sex until your doctor says you're cured. You're cured. And these are all the wisdoms that I live by. One more thing before I close. I want to say this. I want this to be understood that everything I'm reading to you, past, present, and future, I apply all those wisdoms to myself and my own personal life that I'm publicizing to you all in the podcast. So some people go, how can you keep your sexual partners' sex life between you and them private if you discussed your porn aspirations in the past? I was talking about a lot of my off-screen partners. Some of my off-screen partners don't mind our full business being out there for the world to know. And there's a lot of my partners that do mind. So the ones that do mind, I don't, their photos are kept from the public, their names are kept from the public, and any information about them is kept from the public. So I don't put all of my partners out on blast. I don't put all my partners out there on Front Street. I'm not that kind of person. I get to know them if I have certainty that they want it all out there. They I put it out there. Whatever they want me to put out there, I put them out there because I don't have a problem with that. Now, if they have a problem with being put out there, I don't put them out there. Whatever they want out there, I publicize. Whatever they don't want out there, I don't publicize. And I have the same rights when it comes to them. And so we have that agree with each other. Whatever we want out there is out there. Whatever we don't want out there is not out there. Willing to change our minds anytime, willing to keep our minds set in our ways on some things too. So all of that is being honored, okay? Even for my on-screen partners, whatever they want out there is out there. Whatever they don't want out there is out there. And I have the same rights when it comes to them as well. So we disclose what is right for us, and we don't disclose what isn't right for us to disclose. We have all of that wonderfully settled before we engage in any sexual activity with each other. So I just really needed to say these things so people can understand my heart.